Good morning. How are we today? Good. Are we warm? Full and hopefully warm. Well, I am Pastor Alicia. I am honored to say that I am the pastor here because of what Barbara just said. We not only are growing our spirits and our minds, but we are also serving God's people. So I am just so honored to be a part of this congregation. Today's focus is on living with integrity. Something with integrity is stable. All the parts are supporting the whole. Oh, wait, I guess I forgot something. I'm seeing someone in a warm hat up there. All right, here we go for Lent. Is what we'll be experiencing in Lent. We'll be imagining ourselves in Scripture and, I believe, going deeper into our faith. So there's a few things in addition to our worship series on Sundays. We also have an Ash Wednesday service on February 26th at 6:30, and then our Sundays, and we'll have a Holy Thursday worship at 6:30 as well. We are looking for participants for our book study. We currently have it scheduled for Friday afternoons at 12:30. If this is not a good time for you and you'd like to participate, please let me know. I'm willing to do a second class. I just need a suggestion as the day and time. So know that we have Friday afternoons, but you're welcome to let me know if there's another time. For Lent, in preparation for Lent, we are looking for a couple of things. It's up there. We're looking for tableau actors. You might think, I'm not really a good actor. I can't speak. We're only looking for one person to speak and then others to basically stand as statues or sit as statues during the time the person's speaking. So I bet almost anyone here can do that. So let me know, please, if you'd like to participate in the tableau, the Lenten tableau. And we're also looking for empty picture frames. I think that I originally said large picture frames like 2 feet by 3 feet. We'll take any size. Because sometimes it's hard to get the bigger one. So if you have any empty picture frames, please bring them in. I will not be here, so I guess leave them in the office would be a good spot. And in addition to that, I'm saying tell me. I guess you can, if I'm not here, you could tell the office, you could email the office what time and day will be good. Because I am going to be experiencing the scriptures in a different kind of way. I'll be traveling to the Holy Land on Tuesday, and I'll be gone for a couple of weeks. So I'm excited because when I come back, I'm going to be able to tell you about what I saw and how that affects me reading the Bible. And through Lent, it just kind of works out so great. I don't know how that happened, but I guess it's God's thing. All right. If you have questions, I just talked really fast and gave you a lot of information. Just talk to me after worship, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Okay, so today's focus is on living with integrity. Something with integrity is stable. All the parts are supporting the whole. The structure itself, not just the facade, is sound. We are invited today to examine all the parts of our lives to see if they point toward the fulfillment of our identity, vocation, and call. When all things work together for good, the parched places in our lives become watered, and our saltiness never loses its taste. Light is a consistent metaphor for God's love. Will you please stand in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 524, Beams of Heaven as I Go, by Charles Tindley, out of the historical Black worship experience.
Beams of heaven as I go through the wilderness below, guide my feet in peaceful ways, turn my midnight into day. When in the darkness I would grow, faith over
this morning, and I invite you to join me in the call to worship that you will find on the screen. Come into worship and see what God has in store for us today. Come into God's presence and see the difference love makes.
Come into the light and see the glory of God. Come and see, come and see. We each may or may not exactly understand God's call for us, but we were all called to be here this morning, and we each answered that call. So please take a moment and greet others who answered that call too with the love of Christ. And when you hear the music, it will be time for the children to come up front and meet with Pastor Alicia. Please greet each other.
Will the children come forward as they're comfortable, please? Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Are we good? What do I have here? Can you see what this is? What is it? It's salt. A whole bunch of different kinds of... I'm going to pass this one around because I feel like it's fun to play with. So can you... You can just pass it. Doesn't it feel nice? I like it. So today we're going to talk about how Jesus has called us to be the salt and light of the earth. And so I brought a whole bunch of different salts in here because there's lots of ways that we can be the salt of the earth. Salt means that we want to give the world taste. We want to share God's love so that people all over the world might know, feel it. Feel how it feels. So people all over the world might know what it is and how it feels to be Christian, because Christians are sharing their love or their saltiness all over the world. I also brought this in. What's this?
Light.
A flashlight. So it actually works. I was happy to see that. I don't want to put it right in your eyes, but when I was a kid, my brother and I used to go into the hallway, and in the hallway in our house, we had doors in every single spot, so we could close all the doors, and we locked our cat in there with us. And after we locked him in, we'd turn off the lights, and then we would use a flashlight, and we would make the light go over, and then he'd jump and try to get the light. And so I was thinking about that as I was thinking about how Jesus wants us to be the light that shines. And sometimes we have sadness and dark times, but there's always this light. And we need to be part of that light that shines, like I did with my brother and the cat, that part of the light that shines in the darkness. And again, by sharing God's love. So today we actually have 5 baptisms. 5. Yeah, right? So how about we have a prayer together, and then if you would like, you can go sit at the children's table or in front of the baptismal font, and you can watch the baptism, or you can go sit back. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot we have Sunday school. Baptism. Okay, so if you'd like to stay for the baptism, you can sit here, and then Mr. Bacon, who knows Mr. Bacon? Has anyone? Okay, he's over there, Mr. Bacon in the red tie. He's going to be our Sunday school teacher for grades kindergarten through fifth grade, and so during worship, children that are in kindergarten through fifth grade can go have Sunday school with Mr. Bacon, and then parents pick the children up in chapel, what we call the chapel room. I can tell you where that is. All right, so let's have a prayer, and then we will have a baptism. How exciting. Well, five. Loving God, we are so grateful that you have called us to be the salt and light of the earth. We know this is really hard. It's a really hard task, but we are up for the challenge because we know your love shines bright on us so that we might shine that light and love on all around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to have those who are being baptized can come and stand here with me down here, and then others can go sit over here or with your family. Right, we're ready. Look at this. Wonderful. I will stand on this side, and we'll just have everyone else come in as you would like. Come on over. Can you come? Would you be willing to come this way a little? Good, thank you. Perfect, Mom. What a wonderful, fabulous day. A day when we have five baptisms that a family has decided to bring their children into the family. So I am so grateful. Dear friends and siblings in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. And so I ask all of you up here, and the answers are on the screen. If you aren't sure, you're either going to say, I do or I will. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? All right, and to you, congregation, you have a part in this as well. You all have a part. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and in life and include these persons now before you into your care. With God's help, Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and was anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his... I'll put you down. Okay. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and they who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness through their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with whom lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay, who are we, who's first? You want, yes? Susanna is first. Okay, you ready for this? Oh, Susanna. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who's next? Okay. Akilah. Akilah, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jaquila, Jamila, I baptize you. Do you want me to pick you up too? I don't know if I can. Jamila, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Camila, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jacob, will you come to me? Jacob, you ready for this? We didn't talk about this. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit work within you. Let's lay hands on our beloved here, okay? Can we come over and lay hands on all of our friends, all of our new family members? Come on over if you can reach. I got some hair. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Welcome the newly baptized. Welcome. Let's clap. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Will you please read with me? Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome all of you as members of the family of Christ. Amen. Yay. Well, welcome to the family, all. Welcome.
In today's reading, the prophet Isaiah is disparaging those who follow the law by fasting, but spend the day being grumpy, quarreling, fighting, and abusing their workers instead of using that experience to grow closer to God. Notice how Isaiah connects light with living with God, with living with God's plan. I will be reading today from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 6 through 9. Isn't this the fast I choose? Releasing the wicked restraints, untying the ropes of a yoke, setting free the mistreated and breaking every yoke? Isn't it sharing your bread with the hungry and bringing the homeless poor into your home, covering the naked when you see them and not hiding from your own family? Then your light will break out like the dawn, and you will be healed quickly. Your own righteousness will walk before you, and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and God will say, I'm here. Jesus is speaking about serving a purpose. In today's scripture, we were born for a purpose, and if we don't live it out, our time here on earth is wasted. Jesus, like Isaiah, is using metaphors about light. Today I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, and hear his words. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. So several years ago, I was talking with a friend, and she was saying, it was a Monday, and she was saying that the day before she went to the gas station to put gas in her car, and there was, you know how there's usually someone on the other side, and it's like this awkward thing, do I say hello, do I smile, what do I do here? And the person across on the other side of the pump, as they were pumping their gas, was just beaming with joy and just beaming, just happy, maybe humming. I don't remember what she said, but just my friend said, I wanted whatever he had. So I asked him, why are you in such a good mood today? And the man said, I just came from worship and it just filled my soul. And she said, where do you go? And he told her, I apologize, I don't remember. But the point is, he was beaming God's light. He was not tasteless, was he? He was beaming God's light, and she knew it, and she wanted to have it. That has stuck with me for years. I think this was more than 10 years ago, that we, each of us, every day, can be that person on the other side of the gas tank, beaming God's light. So I guess today we're going to talk about how and why. It seems salt has gotten a bad rap lately. I'm wondering who here is watching their sodium intake? Anyone in the choir? Yep. Yeah, my mom is always talking about her sodium as well. But on the other hand, salt has gotten exotic, right? Look at all those fancy salts. we have Himalayan salt, Dead Sea salt. I've seen Dead Sea salt scrub or something like that. Any other salts that you've seen out on the market? Epsom salts, yes. Pink Himalayan sea salt. Oh, there are all kinds of salt, and I find this super interesting. Salt can do several things. It brings flavor to things that are bland or tasteless. Over Christmas break, my nephew, who is 11, and I made a beef roast, and it was a hit. Everyone loved it. And so my brother said, well, how did you season it? And so I turned to my 11-year-old nephew, and I said, how did we season it? And he said, salt and pepper. And that was the truth. We put salt and pepper on the beef roast, and it was a huge hit. It makes things tasteful. It also can act as a preservative. And salt can also be used to stimulate thirst. And in our neck of woods, we know all know what salt can be used for, right? To melt the ice and clean the roads and the sidewalks so we don't slip or fall or crash our cars. To Matthew's hearers in Judaism, salt was a symbol of covenant. We may think of ourselves as the salt of the earth. We could do this by enhancing our lives, others' lives, and the love and vibrancy of life above and beyond the ordinary flavors. Well, how do we do this? Well, maybe like I took that flashlight in that dark hallway, we shine God's light so bright. In this scripture or teaching, Jesus is referring to Isaiah 42, verse 6. You are the light of the world. Jesus tells us of the light God shares with us, and we are to share with others in the world. Don't hide it, but share it. By honoring covenantal acts of love, mercy, and justice. So why do we share the light? Well, light gives light. Light gives life. It's essential for the growth of vegetation, such as the food we eat and the flowers that that give us beauty. Light gives us solar energy so we could power our homes and even beyond our homes. We as believers may also act as a mirror that reflects God's light so that all people can know God's justice and mercy. As a gathered community, disciples are like a light when we engage others in the world. Jesus encourages his followers to bring light to a dark and broken world. And I noticed in the baptismal vows and liturgy that it also talks about how Jesus brought light into a dark world. And there is so much darkness. We all have dark times. Light shines bright in the darkness. Think of the stars in the night sky. We cannot see the stars in the night sky without the darkness. Scholar James Charles Cook said, "In order for the light to be seen, we must be willing to go where the darkness exists, to engage and walk through it so that in time the light can overcome it, like a sunrise." Archbishop William Temple said this, "The church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not its members." And I want to add, yet. We all have dark times. People of faith have dark times. We are in it. We are to shine God's light and compassion on those we know who might be going through dark times and those we don't know yet. But think about those who do not yet know the comfort and grounding of faith. Maybe they have never heard or known about Jesus, God, or the Holy Spirit. And maybe they have never yet heard the reassuring message, "Jesus loves me, this I know." You finish it. Or, "What a friend I have in Jesus." or great is thy faithfulness, or amazing grace, how sweet the sound, or be still my soul, or welcome, all are welcome in this place. Or worst yet, they have heard these messages but did not experience it in practice of the Jesus followers within the church. What if they have been hurt by the church? This may sound like a huge ask or expectation, but Jesus has shared with us in his teachings over and over again, we are not to lose our saltiness. In other words, we are to live with integrity. In Isaiah, the reading from Isaiah says, God says, I'm here. So if we're ever in doubt as to how to make this happen, God is with us. We are to be the salt and the light of the earth so that no one mistakes Jesus or Jesus' followers as judgmental or mean or exclusive, but only full of love and mercy and justice and inclusivity, continually saying, welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. Amen.
Just as the moon reflects the sun's light, we are called to reflect God's light in our lives with others. Please stand in body or in spirit and join with me in singing hymn number 601, Your Word is a Lamp.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Unto thy feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You're the light unto my path.
Please be seated. We now continue in prayer and in reflection by sharing with each other those things that are laying on our hearts today. If you would like your prayer request read as part of the worship service, you can pass your yellow slip that looks like this. This is a prayer slip with attendance on the other side. And you can pass the prayer slip to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. You can feel free to either be a singer or a listener as we begin our prayer time seeking Christ's presence in our lives.
Christ behind me, King of my heart. Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, never to part. Christ before me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, King of my heart. Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, never to part.
Take a deep breath. We will begin our prayer time with a time of silence for personal reflection, and then I will share a prayer, and then we will pray the Lord's Prayer together. Please feel free to speak the Lord's Prayer using the words or the language that is most meaningful for you, and if there is a mumble of sound, well, that's kind of who we are all coming together. Now, settle yourself. Open your mind and open your heart to the gentle calling of the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Loving God, who created all of us in your image, hear our prayers. God, I confess that knowing that I would be the person praying on Sunday morning in our church this week made me scared. This has been a challenging week for our country. Not just one thing, or two, or even three, but a parade of one thing after another until we are tired and empty or riled up to a level of agitation. I know that there are some who say that anything that has been happening isn't new, and that we've been here before and we'll be here again, and that may be true. But for many, many, many people on all sides of issues, this has been a week of uncertainty and emotion and tension. And yet, I thought to myself, I know that Sunday morning prayer time at church is not the time to raise divisive issues. Traditionally, it is a time of praise and thanks and reassurance. And then I also thought, if we can't address you, God, with our hearts and uncertainties when we worship, who are we? We have to pray together. So I prayed. I prayed that I might find the right words to say, and I prayed for a clarity of understanding, and I prayed to feel you, God, and to trust. And the word that kept coming to me was grace. Grace from you, through you, and with you, that will hold us in our personal and communal challenges. I don't quite get it, but I believe that your grace will nurture us as we attempt to and must strive to live and act in love, not hate. Relationships, not revenge or one-upsmanship. Knowledge, not speculation or rumor. Justice, not discrimination. Trust, not fear. Humility, not self-importance, honesty, not denial, and faith guided by simple holy teachings such as, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and love you, God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And what does the Lord require of us? To do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with you, God. We turn to you today not to seek grace, because grace is given to us, but to feel your grace, to find your grace. And we pray that you and we and all people together in grace can travel each day, each week, each year. This is my prayer. When we pray together, Jesus taught us to say, Creator God, who are in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We come together here because of the simple fact that all are welcome here. We are united by our shared vision of feed God's people, body, mind, and spirit. And our offering is one way that we affirm our commitment to this vision. Please don't forget to put your attendance slip in the offering plate, and the ushers will collect it as the choir blesses us with song. And I have to say, it's one of my all-time favorites, Aaron Copland's At the River. Our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace as we become one with God's love for us. Please remain standing and join me in the prayer of dedication. God in Christ has shown us the beauty of holiness. What are these gifts? These we should offer unto the Lord, but these are not all the Lord asks. The Lord also asks that we break the yoke of tyranny and let the oppressed go free. The Lord asks that we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. The Lord asks that we attend the afflicted and give ourselves for those in need. Then our light shall rise at midnight and our gloom be as the noonday. And that darkness will turn to the dawning. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 569, We've a Story to Tell to the Nation.
And the light and the kingdom will continue here next week. Don't you worry. Our gifted preacher, Deborah O'Connor Slater, will be here preaching for the next 2 weeks. You don't want to miss it. You have called us, O God, to embrace the mission of Jesus as our own. Our sight is not equal to this vision, and our strength is not equal to this task. But you, O Lord, are a merciful God. You give light to those who walk in darkness. You grant strength to those who carry heavy loads. As we return to the work-a-day world, let us see your light before us and feel your strength within us. Amen.